Hey, there was a lot of things highlighted in the news this week, and certainly a gripping was Boston, the marathon, and then it was the fertilizer explosion in Waco, or near Waco, Texas. And so a lot of news things happening, and I was surprised that these brothers were caught so quickly. And just hearing it unfold, and sometimes it's you end up listening to a lot of news or watching a lot more news because it's so tragic and grips you, and you're watching this unfold. And then when they put it out there of these images, they knew that there was this risk. You put it out there, and if these are the guys, then they know that they're kind of being, you know, looked at or onto, and there's a risk that they'll get out of the country, cross the state, or just get undercover. But knowing this risk, the reward was that the public eyes out there would help. So that they had to have really had a lot of discussion, and it worked out amazing. So that was quite a tragedy, and tragedies happen, and throughout history we read in the Bible tragic things happening in the Bible, and tragic things will continue to happen. I mean, no matter how stringent we are, it's part of the sin stain. And it ends when Jesus comes back. There will be a day when we don't have to worry about terrorism or bombs or killing or any of that. There's a day Jesus returns, perfect justice happens. There's a judgment. All those who are passively following him, believing him, loving him, are with him forever. He establishes his kingdom where there'll be no pain, no sickness, no death, no tears, nothing but good. Until that day comes, there's bad things happening. So we're on this track of budgeting and going on the same theme as the Financial Peace University. And honestly, on Thursday when I'm changing the sign to say this Sunday, I felt kind of like a little spiritual battle going on, like nuts and bolts of budgeting. It just didn't have a spiritual pow to it in light of all that had been happening this week. And I was praying about it and kind of hesitating and wonder, should I shift? Should I preach on something else? We need our face before God. I'm praying and then asking the Lord, were you really that practical? Because this is just a real practical thing. And I thought of Jesus with his disciples. And a lot of them then left their work. And how did they get by? And they left their nets, and then they'd go back and do some fishing and must have sold that and let them continue walking with Jesus and following him. And did Jesus actually talk to his disciples about budgeting while they had dialogue with him? Should we give to the government, to Caesar? Or should we give to the Lord? You know, and we had April 15th, and a lot of people are saying, we should not have to pay so much taxes, and we all feel that tension. And Jesus said, give to Caesar what's to Caesar's, and the Lord what's the Lord's. And he talks about, you know, should the king have to pay taxes? He says, of course not, he's the king. And Jesus really identifying himself as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And then he says, you know, just to honor what's going on here, Peter, go out and the first fish you get, open its mouth and you're going to find enough money in there to pay taxes for both of us. Amazing, unique, practical miracle that happened. So we are going to talk about budgeting, the nuts and bolts of budgeting. And there's some good reasons to do so. I went to Google and went and Googled Americans living paycheck to paycheck. And I was just curious what would come up. And so here's what came up. One said that 4 of 10 are living paycheck to paycheck. Some of you quick mathematicians. 40%. That's a 40%. That's the easy one. The next was six of ten. This one's the trickier one, but six is mathematicians. 66.66666, isn't that the one? It's not. Well, let me go back to mine. Oh, I've got the wrong number. That's why. Three. Two. That's wrong. I'm going to have a green finger by the time I'm done. Two of three. That's the 66.6, and we can put that guy on there, meaning it just goes on forever. And then, one that just straight up made it easy said 77% live paycheck to paycheck. So I thought, that's quite a spread. I mean, that's almost double. So where are these numbers coming from? So I went on that one that said 40% because it was the most recent. And it came from Allstate Insurance. They did a survey in December of 2012 of 1,000 Americans, 18 and older, and they found 41% are living paycheck to paycheck, identify themselves living paycheck to paycheck. And from that survey, also 8% said that they didn't have enough to buy essentials. And it didn't define essentials. I think essentials are like food, clothing, and shelter, not like a 32-inch flat-screen TV. 8% didn't have that. Didn't have enough for essentials. And one of the biggest failings of Christians and churches is finances. And with the economy the way it is, it has us asking questions, and especially if you grab the local paper, and it just never seems to end. You open it up, you go through, you find out sporting events and this and that, and letters to the editors, and this guy's happy and that person's not happy, and school events. And then what do you have? All this super fine print, small stuff, which is what? Public notices. Foreclosure. And it's like page after page of foreclosures. Why, Santa County used to be the growingest county, the highest. Chisago, Isani, Sherburn were one of the three highest of building permits. And so when the economy tanked, we then are one of the highest in foreclosures. And seeing that happening around us, we ask ourselves, you know, is my house upside down? Meaning, do I owe more than what the value of the house is? And we ask ourselves questions like, what if my company that I work for quits and closes its door? What happens if there's downsizing in the company I work for, in my business? What happens if my spouse loses her job or is downsized and hours are shortened? So we ask those questions in this, and there's signs of recovery. And then some say, yes, it's recovering, but it's going to tank again, and this tank will be worse, and all kinds of anxiety can come up. So I think going through this is very important. And whether you're a senior citizen on a fixed income, whether you're a single person, whether you're married, I think what we're talking about in finances is pretty significant, especially as believers in Jesus Christ. Somebody said, if the rapture happens and all the Christians are then taken out of this world, what would be the financial picture left for those remaining behind? I thought that's an intriguing question. I mean, if we're sharing that equally with the rest of the world, and now suddenly all of those are gone, what happens then? We're going through the Dave Ramsey, and we're matching the theme, so it's nuts and bolts of budgeting. One of the things of baby steps taken is having $1,000 emergency fund. And the second baby step was doing a written budget. And so they had a quick budget, and you can go online if you're not part of the class. And we'll have 19 people gathered here, and we'll kind of pack out this middle part. We set up three tables, and we're kind of really elbow to elbow here. I think we have three new people that are going to be with us tonight that are going to be joining in. But you heard my story where Connie and I struggled here. We had our furnace that that kicked down on us and gave up the ghost had a cracked plenum. I think that's what it's called, cracked plenum. And then we had our refrigerator that hasn't given up, but it just keeps running and running and running. Good news is this, we have our $1,000 emergency fund. And we just started our budget committee meeting, dialoguing with one another, and we have enough to buy a used refrigerator, a nice used refrigerator, or, what did I say, new, didn't I? A nice used refrigerator, or a basic, kind of lower line, new refrigerator. So our budget committee meeting this afternoon is going to be really looking at what are those other things that are high on the list of needs. And for us, we've got balding tires on the truck. We've got some dental work that needs to happen for both Connie and I. And so we'll have this dialogue. And then we've got the refrigerator. But the good news is we have some finances. So we'll have that. I have a hunch that the refrigerator is probably going to eke out. It's kind of an important deal. But if we had budgeted, we wouldn't be in this pickle. And that's just it. That's just reality. And that's where most of these are at, if they would budget. And budgeting is telling your money where to go. It's directing your funds. And it's like thinking of being up at the top of a stream, and you have these big flippers, diverters, that you can guide that river wherever you want. And it's much easier up at the top of the stream of your finance river of saying, I want it to go that way, and it shoots and goes that way. And how Connie and I had been living and how many of us live is we're at the bottom of the stream with the trickle trying to catch what's left over. And so we were at the top of the stream saying, 10% go here to the Lord, to the church. But we didn't say, 10% go to savings. That was a trickle that never made it to the bottom of the stream. So budgeting is telling your money where to go. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. And start with verse 10. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, if you're in any of those, you're going to be close. Psalms has got 31 chapters, and someone says, you want to be wise? It's a book of wise wisdom, wise saying. Just take and read a chapter of Psalms every day. You know, some of our months have got 30 days, some have 31. And so get wise, read that once a month, once a day. You go through Psalms every month. You can go through it 12 times a year and boost your wisdom. So we're going to start here in verse 10. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to read from 10 to the end of the chapter. A wife of noble character who can find, she's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girl. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps a spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, application here. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she's earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that these words about this noble woman would be something that we can use in our lives today regarding our finances. So we ask that you bring illumination, you bring application, and you bring transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So what do we know here? King Solomon had written Proverbs, but we get to Proverbs 30 and Proverbs 31, and we got two other people identified here, Agur in chapter 30 and King Lemuel in 31. It appears that these two people are non-Israelites. Most commentators say these are non-Israelites. But that's all we know about them. So we got King Lemuel, and if you read at the beginning of chapter 31, he's reciting oracle, an oracle, a poem, literature, a body of wise sayings from his mother. This block here from verse 10 to 31 is an acrostic poem. Now, if you came up to me and said, Mark, this is an acrostic poem, I'd say, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then they would explain, because I had to look and see, what does that mean? In the Hebrew alphabet, each one of these verses begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it went alphabetically. So in the English, for us, it would be A, B, C for each verse. So that's what acrostic poem is. The translation then into English, you don't get the Hebrew first letter then being A, so we don't have that. So I think good questions to ask is, well, why was this written in an acrostic poem? I think Psalms or Proverbs 1 was, some of the Psalms were. Psalms 119, I believe, is an acrostic poem, long one. It's to help them memorize it. So why memorize it? That the King Lemuel's mother wanted this memorable for her son to perhaps learn and know and to marry and align himself with a woman of nobility. So this is important of characteristics of this noble woman. This is typically a chapter we read at Mother's Day. I'm going to have to find something else now to come up at Mother's Day where we honor this wise woman, this hardworking. Her husband looks lazy. I mean, what's he doing? Sitting at the gate, chatting with the boys. But there's a leadership role there that he has at the city, a seat of leadership. But I want us to walk through some things because it talks a lot about her finances. So, verse 13, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Well, I know wool you can make clothes out of, but I learned that flax you make linen out of. Out of the fiber from flax. I never knew that. Some of you ladies knew that. Pretty smart group. But actually, I want to go back a step and have you look at verse 30. Because that's the most important characteristic of this woman. It says she fears the Lord. Proverbs starts with that. The fear of the Lord is beginning with wisdom. And it ends with the fear of the Lord. So it's not being like, I'm frightened of the Lord. It's being honor and respectful and revering and reverence to that whatever the Lord is, I fear him and I'm going to do what he says. And it's not like being scared, but a high level of respect. And that's her best quality there. So Proverbs begins with this, and it ends with this. And a nice bookends of the entire book of wisdom. And this is her strongest quality and affects all of what she does. So now we go up to 13. She gathers wool and flax. This is for making clothes. And she gets them from, it doesn't say, but she's going to get them from where? The flocks or the fields or from the market. Because we hear about trading and business and merchants. Now look at verse 14 and 15. It says she brings food from afar. I mean, maybe the back 40. I mean, it was an agrarian, and we're talking some agricultural things here. So maybe that a long walk to the back 40, and she's gathering food for her family. Maybe it was from the marketplace, which was a long ways away. Doesn't say, but she's bringing food from afar. Verse 16, which she evaluates, and she buys land, so she's acquiring real estate. And what does she do with that? She plants a vineyard out of her earnings. So she's got some money. She's earning and making some money. And she's evaluating this piece of property. And she puts a vineyard in it. Now, I know about planting corn. I know about planting oats and seeding hay. I don't know about planting vineyard. But in hay, we'll put oats as a cover crop. You can take that off and get a crop, but you typically don't get a hay crop. Maybe towards the end of the year. This year, farmers would be squeezed to get a hay crop when they seed it in. But next year, they'll get several crops of hay. A vineyard, I don't know how quickly it grows, but you know you're not going to get grapes that first year. And I don't even know if you're going to get it the second year. Like an apple tree, it takes, you know, maybe 4 to 6 years before you get a crop. So she plants this vineyard out of her earnings. So she's doing some budgeting, some calculating, and saying, okay, I buy this. I'm going to invest and put in this vineyard. It's not going to earn me income immediately, but it will earn me income. So she's got a business savvy about her. She's enterprising. Verse 17, she works hard. And that's a theme that goes, I mean, she's up when it's dark. She rises up while it's still dark, and she's still working in the dark at night under the lamp. Verse 18, she's a profitable trader. I'd want her working for me on Wall Street. She does well. She makes good in her trades. Verse 20, all of this isn't just a self-serving. What a high virtue for God's people is helping others. So she helps the poor and needy. It's not just like, I want more so I can have more. There's a generosity that's happening here. Verse 21, there's no worries when it snows. She's not in a panic. Because their closets have got red clothes in it. It says scarlet, likely made out of wool. Also that aspect of scarlet, the Hebrew word there has this aspect of like double layered. Meaning it's thick or just well made. In fact, Connie and I, we got married in 1980. And my sister, we still have some bath towels that my sister gave as a wedding gift. It was just quality bath towels. We got some that I start drying my back and it's like, you know, it's tearing. And we just bought them a couple years ago. Cheap. Scarlet. Scarlet's thick and well made. And she can laugh at the snow coming down because we're warm. My kids and my family are covered and taken care of. Clothed in fine linen. I think I missed something here is that she's got employees. She's got female servants. Household servants, and they're taken care of as well. So there's she's employing people. She's hiring people. She's clothed in, her family's clothed in fine linen, as well as her. What do you think of when you think of linen? Kind of a fancy meal or setting, candles, linen napkins, linen tablecloth, exquisite. And so there is that, again, made out of those flax fibers. And it's also represents mobility. They probably, made things for the kings. And so she's got a noble setting here. And verse 24, she makes and sells linen garments. Verse 25, she's clothed. It says she's surrounded with strength and dignity, and she does what? She laughs. She's free of anxiety. She's free of worry. I mean, if her refrigerator gave out, she could laugh. She'd say, hey, we've got it in the bank. It's taken care of. Yeah, now we get a new fridge. That other one was getting kind of gnarly looking and the paint chipping off anyhow. We'll go get that stainless steel one or whatever one we want. So she's confident. She can laugh. She's free of anxiety and worry. And it's all because she feared and respected God. And she told her money where to go in a godly way. She couldn't have accomplished this without a financial plan. I went to God Money and Me, and there's a website here that's godmoneyme.com. And if you go God and Money, Bible and Money, all kinds of things come up, and most of them that I've seen are pretty sound, pretty solid. Tied in, I think, well with Scripture. This website certainly was. It's written by a couple named Brian and Laura Jelwell. They live and work in Lexington, Kentucky, and by day he's a travel magazine editor, and she is an Alzheimer's care trainer. The rest of the time, they're active members of Cornerstone Church of Lexington, where Brian teaches God and Money classes for the church members. Pretty neat. They write this: a budget is a great roadmap for your financial life. So I like that. I've got this atlas here. They said a budget is a great roadmap for your financial life. It was, I don't know how many years ago, we went down to Galveston, Texas, to the Gulf of Mexico. So if we would have said, kids, we're going to go we're going to go to Galveston, Texas, all we have to do is point the car south, and we'll get there. We would. We might get to Alabama. We might get to Mississippi. We might get to Arizona. But would we get to Galveston, Texas? Eventually, we would. But best is get the atlas out, get a map out, get MapQuest, get Triptych, whatever, and map it out so you have the shortest course, you have the directest route, and you're there. We have our Garmin lady that talks to us, and sometimes she's right, and sometimes she's not so right. But a budget is a great roadmap for your financial life. But in the end, it's only a document. It takes lots of action to execute that plan and make it your financial reality. Fortunately, there are some great habits and tricks that can help make this process happen more smoothly. Once you put together a good monthly budget for yourself and your family, either on paper or on computer spreadsheet, you can use some of these methods and programs to put your plan into action. Here are four suggestions to get you started. I'm going to cover these real briefly. He talks about the envelope system. And I know that, I don't know when this happens, but I know it happens at some point in this, Dave Ramsey. The envelope. And when our kids were growing up, we had jars. We had three jars. One jar was the tithe offering jar. So, and the second jar was savings, and the third was wild. Didn't mean like wild hockey game. We could. So if they got $10 from grandpa, grandma, they got $10 for working. We'll use $10 as a good 10% went into the tithe jar. So how much? $1 went in. And because they were young, we said 50% went into savings. So now how many is the savings? We got $5 in savings. I did it on the complete 10. I didn't. So now we got $6. So how much they got in Wild? $4. And Wild, Connie and I just had to bite the bullet. If they wanted to spend $4 on gum, if they wanted to spend it on it, whatever that amount was, it was theirs to spend it on Wild money. And they could decide. And they kind of learned. You know, candy was fun, but now it's gone. And my sister bought something that's lasting. And I'm watching her play with it or use it. And so there was a learning going on. So the envelope system is like the jar, just more categories. So you got an envelope that's for your groceries. And you've got an envelope for clothing. An envelope for gas. And here's the envelope that we just never filled. Was our savings. And we just said, okay, we had an envelope, a mental envelope, and it right away was at the top of the stream, and we gave. And we just thought, okay, we'll pay our bills, and we'll buy groceries, and we'll put gas in the car, and then we'll have some money extra for our savings. And we never told our money where to go. And this never got. And so in the Dave Ramsey, they've got just a kind of a handy thing. I don't know if this slot is for, but for putting your cash in. But they're saying, okay, take your, and especially for somebody that just, it's so such a great visual, and somebody really struggling in this area, you cash your check, and you have some dollars that are already given out there that you need to send out. And that'd be your mortgage, would be a big item. But then there's envelopes that those in the program, and so you mark down, okay, groceries. We typically spend this much in groceries. And we get this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this. When this envelope gets empty, then you stop spending. Then the problem without an envelope and with just maybe not keeping track on a ledger is that, well, it'll work out, and, you know, we're just a week away from the next check, and then you're 10 days away, and then you're 2 weeks away, and trouble happens. So you have an envelope. Now, you can say, we don't need clothes this month, so I'm going to borrow from or just take the dollars out of this clothes envelope. We're not going to buy clothes. We're going to use it for entertainment. And you can do that. But it's telling your money where it should go. So they talk about, Laura and her husband speak about the envelope system. Next, the envelope method. Next, they talk about a set-aside accounts. Excuse me. And that's those things that you don't see every month. Because we could get by month and say, you know, our clothes are fine. But eventually, you know, you that have families for school, your kids grow and they try putting their pants on and it's 6 inches shorter and school starts up in a couple weeks and you've got some clothing. And if you hadn't set aside for that, you know, now you've got this amount you need to get. But there's some other things that set aside accounts. Your car insurance. Ours we pay twice a year. Some you have four times. Some are on a monthly. Some is a once a year. But if it's a once a year or twice a year, like ours is twice a year. So if we went along and said, our budget is going fine, and we get to July when our car insurance is due, suddenly we have this big wad. And it's like, oh my goodness, panic set in. I'm not laughing. I'm crying. That's what they say is that set-aside account is just making certain that you have that. You know it's coming. Christmas shopping. You know, Christmas is going to happen this year. It happened last year, the year before, and guess what? It'll happen next year too. And our expenses rise, and we love giving gifts, and sometimes to our detriment. We've given, and we've done this. I hope you never have. But our envelope for gift giving was empty, and we bought more gifts. And it resulted in some trouble. This next one then, I'm going to have to read a little bit because I'm not as familiar. I think it's the subset. No, automatic transfers. They're just advocates of saying, whatever you can do to make it easy, do it. And many of us, we have our mortgages on automatic, a lot of automatic bills, or some of you pay bills, and some of you are utilizing that for the church here. Your bank allows pay bills, so you can set up an account with River of Life. Most of them, Wells Fargo doesn't have a nice category. I can't remember. What did we categorize? It doesn't say like nonprofit or church or ministry, or it might have been social need or social service or something. So you create a category, but the big thing is River of Life, so the check comes, and it's taken care of. And so, you know, your cell phone bill, whatever things, and some don't like that, that's okay. They advocate that method. I haven't seen what Dave Ramsey, if he even addresses that. But as often as you can, one nice thing about this is automatic transfers into your savings account. So we could say, money, 10% of that check is coming into our checking account. If you have your business that pays you, it can, if it goes in there, then you can tell your money go to savings and set an amount. So now you're building up a savings. And this last one I kind of had jumped the gun on a little bit. But that was the sub-budgets. Here's what they wrote about sub-budgets, because I'm not as familiar with it. I get it. I think it included things you're targeting, like vacations. One thing we found helpful recently is to create a sub-budget to keep track of certain items in our master budget. In our budget, clothing is an annual expense. Laura and I are allocated a certain amount of money to spend on clothing each year. So we've created a second tab in our master budget spreadsheet where we keep track of how much each of us has spent on clothing. That helps us stay on top of our records and keeps from struggling to remember how much we've already spent. We use the sub-budget for any item we want to pay close attention to. We track clothing spending, vacation, and travel spending, deposits into and withdrawals from our set-aside account. Let me say something about vacation. Vacation can be a make-or-break experience. You can go on vacation, you've saved for it, you've got an envelope, and you're not going to go over that amount, and you're going along, you're having a great time, and now you've used up all your dollars. And you've got one more stop left to go. Or you want to go out for one more meal, or one more shopping, or one more experience, and you want to see this. And one partner might say, no, we're done. The envelope's empty, and dogmatically, you know, and the others, the kids are crying. We promised them we'd go over here to, you know, to Mount Rushmore, and they're not going to see Mount Rushmore. We're going to buy a piece of rock or whatever. And they're crying. And you work out something that can kind of bridge that, where you don't just go hog wild and say, forget the envelope system. The kids are crying. Let's, you know, but you can work something. As I, Connie and I would refrigerate, did we get new? We're leaning strongly towards scratch and dent, towards a new appliance. That's a scratch and dent. We can get a really, 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 really inexpensive refrigerator, older than the one that just died on Craigslist. We're thinking that's probably not a really wise thing to do. Okay, so taking it home, what are we going to do? Number one, if you haven't, get $1,000. Doesn't matter whether you're just beginning to earn money, you're at the end and you're retired and you have that fixed amount, there are emergency things that come up. Have that emergency fund. Secondly, is get a budget down. Write a budget. Have it done. Whether it's on your computer, whether it's on a spreadsheet, in Excel, in QuickBooks, whatever. If you're not in the program, go online. There's all kinds of tools that help you out. And finally, it's live like this noble woman and honor God and fear Him and respect Him and tell your money where it should go in a way that you know God will be pleased and honored. So let's stand this morning. We want to thank You, Lord, for places like Boston that's safer now because they caught the suspects. But we know that the kind of world we live in and the sin stain that's in it, there'll be another event and there'll be more bad people doing bad things. But we look to You to protect and watch over us. And I pray that our nation would rise up in a stronger way and call out to You. Because Your word says, if My people call on My name, I will come and be their deliverer, be their rescuer, be their protector. And that's what we need. Father, as we looked at some practical things here of budgeting, especially this woman of nobility, this wife that's virtuous, that has a strong character. And number one is that she honors You. She fears You and respects You highly. Help us to leave here and have that high level of honor Your way that says, I'm going to do whatever is in my power and my ability, and I'm going to call on the Holy Spirit to give me supernatural ability to follow in every way that I possibly can. Follow in a loving and passionate way. Help us to be wise with our finances. Help us to budget. Help us to tell our money where it should go, that we can laugh at things that arise because we don't have that worry and anxiety. Thank You, Lord, that where I've been weak and negligent, that there is still time to redeem that. That we're not delegated to be thrown away and locked in jail. Thank You that there's methods, there's just disciplines that we can embrace that gets us out of these pickles. Lord, I pray for the couples that'll be having that budget committee and those that have already had it. I pray for our class tonight. And Lord, that You would be with us in all aspects of our life and knowing that You are. In Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, follow.